Hey, welcome to the Foundry Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to hear future messages. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message today.
All right. Nice job, kids. Thank you for that. Well, good morning and welcome. Merry Christmas. Just so you guys know, don't come to Foundry on Christmas Eve. This is our Christmas Eve service. You know what? That's going to be one of the benefits of when we have a place of our own. We'll do a Christmas Eve service whenever we want to. How about that? We're looking forward to such freedom. So the wise men is our topic this morning, and you know they brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, as beautifully acted by our bear actors. And it's nice to know what people want for Christmas, isn't it? Isn't it frustrating when you've got somebody that you want to buy for, you want to show love to, and you don't have any idea what they want? Maybe secretly you try to find out what they want. And so kids are usually pretty good about telling what they want. But I wanted to give an opportunity to our kids to go ahead and make sure that your parents know what you would like for Christmas. Now, you may like more than one thing, but if there's one special thing, I've got the microphone right here. Do we have any takers? Anybody? Okay, nice. One of these boys right here.
A winch.
A what? A winch?
Yeah, for my ATV.
A winch for your ATV? That sounds like something your dad might want. Okay, nice job. All right, back here. All right, here, pass the microphone down to him. Is that Nathan?
Nate.
Okay. A computer or an electric scooter?
A computer or a what gun?
Electric scooter.
Ooh, that's dangerous, though. I watch kids on sidewalks. It makes me nervous. Okay, anybody else? This is your opportunity. Sam? Okay, Sam, what you want? That sounds... I think I know what you mean, Sam. Your parents do, too. Somebody else? Yeah, this is your opportunity. I got the mic right here. Like, if you say it in front of everybody, your parents are kind of obligated to get it for you. Because we're all going to ask next week, did you like your electric scooter, Nate? Okay, Gloria?
I want an adorable Squishmallow.
Mm-hmm. Squishmallow. Okay. That's a good one. Any of you guys? Anybody else? Jim, what would you like for Christmas?
New AirPods.
New AirPods. Sometimes it helps to know. Did you know? Are they under the tree? Maybe. Don't tell anybody. All right, last chance. Okay, there's one over here. This is working out nicely. I'm going to run over here. This is your opportunity.
I wish I can have a big Squishmallow.
A big Squishmallow.
A big Squishmallow? That's two Squishmallows. Okay, when in doubt, the message of this is buy a Squishmallow, and you're probably going to be good. Okay, that's all. So it's kind of nice. I guess I'm talking to two mics. It's kind of nice to know what somebody wants. Have you ever wondered to yourself, well, it is Jesus' birthday. What does he want? What does he want? And you might think to yourself, well, he's God. He's the Son of God. He's God in the flesh, and he's now in heaven. I don't think I have anything that he wants or needs. And if that is your immediate conclusion, then you would be very, very wrong. In fact, our Bible is very clear about what God wants, what Jesus wants from us. So that's kind of the message this morning. What are the gifts? The wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but we're going to learn from the wise men at a deeper level what they gave Jesus. And I think it's instructive for us. So three things, and we're going to take it from the story in Matthew chapter 2. And the first one is this, and I've written it in the, what is this, like first person or whatever. So this is, and Jesus even signed this. See, it says, Jesus, I want you to seek me. So this is number one. If you were to say, Jesus, what would you like from me this Christmas? I believe that he would respond, Tim, I want you to seek me. I want you to seek me this Christmas. And put your name in there. Make it personal. So as you read that, just put your name at the beginning, and then I want you to seek me. Now, why would we come to the conclusion that Jesus cares at all? Well, we're told a story of these magi from the east that came, and that's what they were doing. They were seeking Jesus, and the kids told us about it, but let's read it. Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." And so, just like the Magi, and we're going to talk a little bit about who they were, just like the Magi came from the east seeking this newborn king, so Jesus wants us to seek after him. And there's some interesting things when you think about the Magi. We know that they knew some things, but they didn't know everything. In fact, they knew that there was a star, and we don't know exactly how they knew it was a star, that it was a star signifying that a king would be born. There's a prophecy in the Old Testament that says a star will rise out of Israel and he would have the scepter, the throne. So they probably were introduced to Old Testament prophecy, possibly through Daniel, who was a Jewish exile back in Babylon. And so many think these wise men were from Persia. Others think they were from the kingdom of Nabatea, which is like modern-day Jordan. But regardless, they showed up to Jerusalem, and that's as far as they knew where to go. They did not know where to go. And so here's the point. Even though they didn't have all the information, they acted on what they had. So in other words, to seek after Jesus, you don't need all the information. You don't need to know everything about him. In fact, that's what the seeking is about. It's about learning more. But it's really about acting on what we do know. And this is in contrast to the religious leaders of the day. So when the Magi, which Magi, that word Magi means kind of wise men, or some believe that they were astrologers, which kind of makes sense. They sort of knew the stars. By the way, some think the star was a miraculous star that God just put in the sky for this purpose. Others believe it was the alignment of certain stars at that certain time. In other words, it was in the course of the natural movement of the stars in the heavens, and that they studied these and it signified. Either way, they knew that a king had been born, and so they went searching. Now, this is in contrast to the religious leaders. So if we read in verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, because he was a jealous, insecure, paranoid, egomaniac, psycho king. And so he was very disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had called together all the people's chief priests and the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So they're reading a prophecy that is in our Old Testament. "Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go worship him,'" aka kill him. So Herod did not have good intentions. But here's the point. These are the religious leaders of the day. And they had the scriptures. They knew the scriptures foretold that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, but they did not go. They did not go searching. In fact, when Jesus 30 years later begins his public ministry, there were a lot of questions, and they very much resisted him, and there was a lot involved there, unbelief, jealousy, or whatever. But the religious leaders had all the scriptures, they had all the knowledge, they had all the history, they had grown up in church, going to Sunday school, they knew all the Bible stories, they had been brought up in this, and yet when the promised Messiah is born, They're not even interested enough to go themselves and search it out in case it just might be the promised Messiah. And so here's a quote from Pastor Tim. The problem that people have is not a lack of revelation, but a failure to act on the revelation they have been given. In other words, if you're thinking, I just need God to reveal more of himself to me, and then once I'm sure about this or sure about that, then I'll really seek him. And the reality is, he's revealed enough already for all of us to seek after him, to know more. In fact, the book of Romans that Paul writes, Paul kind of writes a letter, and it's sort of an indictment of all people, how all of us have fallen short of God's perfect standard. We all are sinful, in need of a Savior. And he says, you know, he goes, creation itself holds everyone accountable. Because the point that Paul makes is just the heavens and the sky and the all that God has created is enough for us to go, I believe that there's a creator. I believe that this isn't just some kind of accident. And so we're held accountable based on that revelation that we've gotten. And so we have so much revelation. The question is, are we acting on it, and are we seeking him? And the wise men, man, they were hungry. They wanted to know more. There's some amazing promises regarding seeking the Lord. And let me share these with you real quick. One of them is a very popular verse. It's on coffee mugs and embroidered on pillows at the Christian bookstore. It's this: "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." That's good news. Now look at the rest of it. "Then you will call on me, and I will and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." So there's this wonderful promise in the Bible, and that is that if you seek God, he will reveal himself to you. And the key is, you've got to seek him with all of your heart. That's what it says here. If you seek me with all of your heart. In other words, you can't just go through the motions. You can't just sort of try here and there to seek after God. It's like, with a whole heart, I'm going to pursue knowing God. And that is a heart that God responds to. Here's another wonderful promise in Proverbs. And this is talked about in terms of wisdom. "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for a hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." So here's another promise, and that is that God wants people to seek after him. And he says, if you'll seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. And here's an example. You have to seek for me like you would seek for a hidden treasure. Like, kids, imagine your parents told you, hey, your biggest present is actually not under the tree. It's somewhere in the house. It's in the house somewhere, but you have to find it. Kids, what would you do? Would you be like, oh, I guess I'll just be happy with the toys I got? No, you'd be tearing the house upside down, right? You would look for it. So that's an example of, what does it mean to seek God with all? It means I know there's a treasure in the backyard buried, so I'm going to go get a shovel and I'm going to start digging holes, like those psycho movies where people know there's a treasure in the backyard. They dig all these holes. I'm going to dig and dig because I know it's there. I believe it's there, and so I'm gonna search for it. And so if you look for it as for silver or for hidden treasure, you'll find it. So this is what Jesus wants. I think if he could speak to every one of us, he'd say, listen, I don't want you just to like casually look for me here and there at an Easter or Christmas service, and that's great. The fact that you're here means you're seeking somewhat, but there's so much more. It's a year-long, it's a lifelong pursuit of seeking after to know God. This is a heart that pleases the Lord. This is what he wants. Matthew 6, in fact, tells us that this ought to be the very first thing, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are all these things? Well, Jesus had just said, listen, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or what you're going to wear or where you're going to live. Don't worry about all those needs. That's what pagans run after and worry about. I know that you need them. Here's what I want you to do. I actually want you to seek me first, and I'll actually meet those needs. So don't make the relationship that you're seeking first. Don't make the money that you're seeking first. Everybody needs money. Don't make the vacation or the retirement years or whatever it is that you're pursuing. What Jesus had said, here's what you can give me for Christmas. You can actually pursue me and seek me more than anything else. And that would reveal to me a heart that actually really, really wants to know me, and I will reveal myself to that person. You know, C.S. Lewis, there's a documentary out on, I think it's on Netflix or Amazon or something called, basically he was a hard convert to convince. So he was an atheist who became a Christian, brilliant, brilliant man. And here's what he wrote. He said, Christianity, if false, is of no importance. And if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important. Isn't that kind of a profound statement? And the way that we seek God reveals how important we believe Christianity is. And for a lot of us, if we're honest, it's sort of moderately important. We wouldn't just like throw it out. It's like not, we're not like, oh, this is false. I don't believe any of it. And I'm going to be an atheist. Probably nobody in this room is like, yeah, I just don't believe any of that. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. Unless you like the music, which we're glad you're here. But you probably, a lot of us fall into like, well, if you were to look at my life and see what I'm searching after, maybe it would reveal that it's kind of moderate, and that's the very point that C.S. Lewis is making. Listen, Christianity is it's either entirely false, or it is profoundly true, and that means it's worthy of me seeking it out and giving it all of my heart. All right. So the question for all of us this morning is, what are we seeking? Jesus would say to all of us here, I think this morning, here's what you can give me for Christmas since it's my birthday. I would like you to seek me. Here's number two. Number two is I would like you to worship me. I would like you to worship me. Now, if anybody says this to you except for God himself, run away because they're an egomaniac. But it's not egomaniac for Jesus to say, I want you to worship me, because he's the creator of all things. He spoke everything into existence, and he literally is the king. And this, of course, is the example of the Magi when they find him. Let's read verse 10. And they had, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And they saw the star, and when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. All right, so when they got there, it says that they fell down and worshiped him. What does this indicate? Well, it tells us some things about worship, and that is that worship involves bowing in reverence and submission. What did it mean when they bowed before Jesus? It means that they were recognized. We don't know that they, all that they knew about Jesus, but they recognized this is a king worthy of my reverence and of my bowing and of my submission. It is, you are the king. And so there's this reverence. So what does Jesus want this Christmas from all of us? He wants worship that at its essence is us submitting our lives to him, bowing before him, saying, you're the king and I am your subject. I'm your follower. And I want you to be the king of my life. We can make it personal. And so there's this reverence and submission to his lordship, to his kingship. And then there's these giving of gifts, which acknowledged him as king. It's believed that in the ancient Near East, that these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh were these were the type of gifts that you would honor a king with. In other words, in giving these gifts, it's another way that they're acknowledging, we believe that you're a king. But there's some interesting things about the three gifts that I think, again, help us see what is at the heart of worship, the kind of worship that God wants from us, that Jesus wants. First of all, gold. It's appropriate for royalty, affirming Jesus' true kingship. So gold is often connected to royalty. So it's a statement that they believed that he was the king again. And then frankincense. That's weird. It's not Frankenstein, kids. It's frankincense, which is some kind of incense. In fact, it was used as a part of worship in the temple, and it really points towards Jesus as the mediator between God and humanity, because the priest in the Old Testament, he would sort of be the intermediary between people and God, and he would take the sacrifices that were brought and he would offer them. So it's connecting with the whole way that temples worked in the Old Testament times, where somebody was made right, they had to go through the priest. And the wonderful message of the Bible is that when Jesus came, the Bible says that he actually became our high priest so that we have access to God directly through him. I don't have to go to a priest. You don't have to come to me. If you come to me, I'll be like, how about you talk to Jesus directly? Because I don't have any more access to him than you do. That's why Jesus came. So he came to be this intermediary, to make a way. And it says, the Bible says that there is one mediator between God and man. It is the man, Christ Jesus. So he came. So this gift of frankincense is kind of tapping into the idea that Jesus would make a way for people to be saved. He'd be a king, but a king who makes a way. And that leads us to the myrrh. Myrrh, you might remember when they, after Jesus was crucified on the cross, and he was wrapped in linen cloth and laid in the tomb, the disciples came, the women came the morning after to anoint his body. And a part of one of those anointing oils and perfumes would have been myrrh. It was connected with burials and anointing for burial. And so what the myrrh does, and whether or not the wise men knew this at the time or not, we don't know, but it definitely foreshadows Christ's suffering and death. So in worshiping him, they're acknowledging the kind of king he would be. He would be a king who would lay down his life for his subjects, for his followers, for those who he would rule over. He's that kind of king. And as the video said this morning, there is no cross without a manger. He came and was born so that he might live a perfect life and ultimately die a sacrificial death. And so all of this is wrapped up when we say, what does Jesus want from you this Christmas? He wants you to seek him, but he wants you to find him and then worship him. And that means to submit your life to him and acknowledge that he is king and you're not, and to believe upon his death, burial, and resurrection, and make him your king, and in so doing, be saved. These gifts that Jesus wants, here's the interesting thing. He wants them for us. Like he wants us to seek him ultimately so that we might benefit by finding him. He wants us to worship him ultimately so we might benefit by worshiping him. These are those kind of gifts. And then here's the final one. What does Jesus want from you this Christmas? Well, he wants you to follow him. Jesus would say, I want you to follow me. You to follow me. And of course, after acknowledging the king, bowing before him, giving these gifts, verse 12, it says, and having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Isn't that interesting? Right after meeting the king, they are given a dream by God himself, and they follow his leading. Just as they followed the star, now they're following this dream that's been given to them to avoid being then killed by Herod. And so the idea is following, and this is wrapped up in the prophecy that we read a moment ago. Look back up at verse 6, and this was the prophecy where they learned the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means among the rulers of no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler, and look what kind of ruler he will be, who will shepherd my people Israel. So a shepherd was the one that the sheep were to follow. That's the analogy. And so Jesus, the Bible is, and Jesus presents himself with this very language that he is the good shepherd. John chapter 10 is all about this. I want to sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And then a few verses down in verse 27, he says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. And that's what Jesus wants from you this Christmas. He wants you to acknowledge, to seek him, to worship him, and then to live a life of following him, because he's the shepherd who loves you so much that he laid down his life. And then he says, listen, here, this is what characterizes religion when you're a Christian, and that is hearing the voice of Jesus and following him. And that's an exciting life, because I'm not just wandering through life hoping a star will appear here and there. In fact, when Jesus came, and then when he left, he said, when I leave, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and he will guide you into all truth. And so even though Jesus physically is not here, he's given us his Spirit. And those who worship him, receive his Spirit, and then that's like an internal compass. It begins to be a guide. And the Bible itself says the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, a light into our path. So he wants to guide us. Now there's a very famous psalm that you all are going to be familiar with, and we're going to end with that, because it once again shows the benefits of giving this gift to Jesus. And it is Psalm 23. Many of the psalms David wrote were actually looking forward to the Messiah who would come. And surely Jesus is the one that ultimately fulfills this beautiful psalm. And I want you to read it along with me, if you would, all right? We're going to read aloud so you get to participate here. So I'm going to look up so I'm following the same. So let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. And so when we follow him, man, there are so many benefits. See, a lot of people know this verse, but they actually haven't felt the benefits in their life. And the simple reason for that is you're not actually following the shepherd. You're charting from you this Christmas. Well, he wants you to seek him. He wants you to worship him. And he wants you to follow him. And so I want to invite us all to bow our heads. The band's going to come back up, and we're going to close out with candlelight and singing some beautiful Christmas hymns. But I want to urge you to seriously ponder these three things. that Jesus wants from us. And I want to ask you, have you given him that gift? And if you haven't, would you consider saying, you know what, Lord, I'm seeking after you, and I do want to know you. And I actually want to live a life of worshiping you, acknowledging that you're the king and I'm not, and giving you my very life as an act of worship. And I want to follow you. If that's you this morning, there's no greater gift that you could give back to Jesus than that. And it's very simple. It's not complex. In this very moment, before we sing, I just want to lead us in a prayer of expressing these things. Lord, thank you that you sought us out first. And Lord, any inclination that we have to seek you, we recognize is ultimately because you sought us. Jesus, thank you that you came, leaving the portals of heaven, came to earth, were born of a man, born in the flesh, lived a perfect life, then laid down your life. And Lord, may our lives be characterized by seeking after you, to know you, and to worship you. And so if you've never believed upon Jesus this morning, I want to give you the opportunity, just right where you're sitting, to say, you know, Jesus, I do believe. And I this morning, I worship you. I bow my life to you. And I submit to you as the ruler of my life. And now I want to follow you. So I ask you to save me from my sin. Forgive me and cleanse me. And then, Lord, please give me your spirit that I might follow you and follow your word all the days of my life. May my life be pleasing to you through Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. And if you did, make sure to share it and subscribe so that we can get you all of these new messages as soon as they're available. I also want to take a moment and thank all of you who are a part of Foundry. Whether you support us financially or serve with us or just share these messages, it's because of you that we're able to make a difference. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.